ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 45, entitled Krishna Rescues His Teacher's Son. Text 10 to 13. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Maya Manushyasya हरेर विश्वात्मनो गिरा मोहितावंकमारोप्य परिष्वज्जापतुर्मुदम्। श्रीशुक उवाच इति माया मनुष्यस्य हरेर विश्वात्मनो गिरा मोहितावंकमारोप्य परिष्वज्जापतुर्मुदम्। श्रीशुक उवाच इति माया मनुष्यस्य हरेर्विश्वात्मनो गिरा मोहितावंकमारोप्य परिष्वज्जापतुर्मुदम्। श्रीशुक उवाच इति माया मनुष्यस्य विश्वात्मनो गिरा मोहितावंकमारोप्य परिष्वज्जापतुर्मुदम्। इति माया मनुष्यस्य मनुष्यस्य हरेर्विश्वात्मनो गिरा मोहितावंकमारोप्य श्रीशुक उवाच। Shukadev Goswami said, iti does maya by his internal illusory potency, manushyasya of him who appears as a human, harehe Lord Sri Hari, vishva of the universe, Atmanaha, the soul, Gira, by the words, Mohito, bewildered, Ankam, upon their laps, आरोप्य रेजिंग परिश्वज्य एम्ब्रेजिंग आपतुहु दे बोथ एक्सपीरियंस्ड मुदम जॉय. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus, beguiled by the words of Lord Hari, the Supreme Soul of the universe, who by his internal illusory potency appeared to be a human, his parents joyfully raised him up on their laps and embraced him. Text 11. Pouring out a shower of tears upon the Lord, his parents, who were bound up by the rope of affection, could not speak. They were overwhelmed, O King, and their throats choked up with tears. 12. Thus having comforted his mother and father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as a son of Devaki, installed his maternal grandfather, Ugrasen, as the king of the Yadus. 13. The Lord told him, O mighty king, we are your subjects, so please command us. Indeed, because the curse of Yayati, no Yadu may sit on the royal throne. Purport. Ugrasen might have told the Lord, my dear Lord, it's actually you who should sit on the throne. Anticipating the statement, Lord Krishna told Ugrasen that because of Yayati's ancient curse, princes in the Yadu dynasty could technically not sit on the royal throne, and therefore Krishna and Balaram were disqualified. Of course, Ugrasen also could be considered part of the Yadu dynasty, but the order of the Lord, he could sit on the royal throne. In conclusion, these were all pastimes the Supreme Lord enjoyed as he played the part of a human being. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karunasin Inabandho Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarum Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thus, beguiled by the words of Lord Hari, the Supreme Soul of the universe, who by his internal illusory potency appeared to be a human, his parents joyfully raised him up on their laps and embraced him. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a scripture composed by Srila Rupa Goswami explaining the complete science of devotional service, he begins his whole scripture by first offering his respects to Lord Shri Krishna and addresses him as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Akhila means of all, rasa, relationships, or sweetness, mellow, that is experienced in a relationship. Rasa, amrita, eternal, and murti. Murti means personification. Krishna is the personification of the relisher of the sweet mellows of relationships. Actually, all of us seek relationships. Why we seek relationship? Whether it is master and servant, whether it is friendship, whether it is parental relationship or lovers. Essentially, we are seeking relationship because in that relationship, there is some nectar. At least it appears to be so. A relationship is like a fruit. Why do we buy a fruit? To take the juice. And the juice of that fruit is like this, the relish that we taste in a relationship. And Krishna, whenever we have any kind of relationship with Krishna, he perfectly reciprocates that relationship. If you accept him as son, he's the best son. If you accept him as a master, he reciprocates as the best master. Not the best according to our conception, but according to what is best. Objectively best, not subjectively. Therefore, we can't appreciate right now. If we want him to be our lover, oh, the adventure, the excitement, be ready for it. Unexpected, but he's going to come. You can't but just go crazy. He's like a hot juice. You can't spit it, you can't swallow it. You know? That is Krishna. And here, he is reciprocating as if he's just an ordinary son. Saying, because of fear of Kamsa, we ran away. And the way he speaks, even though right now, just few minutes back, Krishna has performed the most inconceivable, unparalleled, extraordinary task of killing Kamsa effortlessly. Killing Kulapida, killing Chanura, powerful wrestlers, most impossible for any human being. But he sees that the rasa is getting spoilt. Ye maza nahi. Instantly he turns and speaks in such genuinely as a son, as a little helpless son, desperately seeking the affection of his mother, that he churns out the motherly nature of Devaki. And even though he's grown up, quite grown up, 10-12 years, still Krishna is always beyond his age. in maturity and also in size. He just sits on her lap and she's just embracing and kissing him. And so much of motherly affection is coming up. And in the purport there is a very interesting, in the also, he thus beguiled by the words of Lord Hari, the supreme soul of the universe, who by his internal illusory potency appeared to be a human. And in the purport there is a statement, in conclusion, these are all pastimes the supreme Lord enjoyed as he played the part of a human being. Krishna sometimes plays, not sometimes, most of the times, he plays the part as a, almost like a human being. If you read Mahabharata, if you read Bhagavatam, is focusing on his glories purely. Otherwise, generally you can easily miss out his glories if you don't carefully read. He almost passes off like an ordinary human being. Sometimes he does extraordinary things and then comes back and acts as if everything is forgotten. In one verse, Bhishma Dev, just before departing, the first verse that he speaks in glorification of the Lord, he says, Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvata pungave vibhumni swasukham upagate kvachid vihartum prakritim upeyushi yad bhava pravahah. He said, my Lord, iti matihi, now that I am about to depart from this world, my mati, my thinking, feeling and willing, upakalpita, I want to exclusively focus on you, vitrishna, and forget all other desires. You know, so many battles, so many responsibilities, so many things of this world. But right now, I want to withdraw my consciousness completely. No other desires, vitrishna and upakalpita. I want to focus on just one pointed on your beautiful form. This is the perfection of yoga. Control of the mind. The mind has two functions. Or mind has two problems. It doesn't stay where you want, it goes where you don't want. So therefore Krishna says, yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asthiram tadastato niyamyait atmanne vashamnayet. And the whole purpose of sadhana is to withdraw, withdraw, withdraw from all nonsense and focus, focus, focus on the essence. It's very simple. Of course, not as simple as being spoken. That's what our sadhana is all about. That's what our chanting is all about. If we have a daily practice, then final exam is much easier. If we can't give up our daily distractions, at least for 1.5 hours every day, you know, and teachers used to give us, the teachers used to give us daily test. So, exercise your muscles, your academic muscles, so that when exam comes, you are ready for it. So at death, we are supposed to withdraw from all, anyway you have to. So this is the practice. If you can't give up all other roles and goals for the time being, at least to accept the main role, the only role, Jivar Sarupaya Krishna Aditya Das, and only goal, love of Krishna. Shamayeva hi kevalam na utpadayed yadiratim. And Bhishma, what was the proof that he was doing it for the pleasure of Krishna? How he was the best of yogi, that right time, when the time came, he could withdraw from all other responsibilities, which he, in his consciousness, was doing it for the pleasure of Krishna, withdrew and then focused. Iti matihi upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati. Now I want to focus on whom? Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sattvata pungave. Who is the leader of the devotees who have no other desires? Krishna is the leader of all living entities. But he is specially the leader of those who have no other desires other than to serve him and love him and please him. So does Krishna not lead the others? Yes. Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharata, Bhokta, Maheshwara. He is only an overseer and sanctioner and giver of good or bad results. Absolutely neutral. Whatever you did, you get. But to the devotees, he personally reciprocates every moment and gives them the knowledge by which they can come back home, back to Godhead. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. To whom? Those who serve him constantly with unalloyed devotion. But Bhishma knows that. Therefore he is telling, Sattvata Pungave, you are specifically the leader of the devotees. Because you lead them, hand-holding literally, take them to the spiritual world, to your own abode. Vibhumni, therefore you are the greatest. And then he says, Sattvata Pungave, then he says, sometimes, even though you are self-satisfied, Swasukham Upagate, you are Atmarama Purna Kama. You don't need anything. But, Kwachit, sometimes, Vihartum, just for enjoyment, you go for a stroll, you know, just to get a, just to enjoy, you go for some outing somewhere. So sometimes, Kwachit, he is self-satisfied, but sometimes, Kwachit, Vihartum, Vihar, just going for a stroll. Kwachit vihartum prakriti mupeyushi. You just descend into this human, amongst the human beings. Yet bhava, even though universes come from you. But when he descends, he acts as good as an ordinary human being. Today also happens to be the most auspicious day of appearance day of Srimati Rukmini Devi, the eternal consort of the Lord and the principal queen of Lord Sri Krishna in Dwarka. And with her as a perfect husband, this is another role now. Here is a perfect son and he just charms the heart of Devaki and Vasudev. Now here he plays a perfect husband. Almost a normal husband. Henpecked husband. So, this is very beautifully described in the Dwarka pastimes of the Lord in the 10th canto. Once, in the company of her maidservants, Queen Rukmini was personally serving her husband, the spiritual master of the universe, by fanning him as he relaxed on her bed. Krishna used to visit all the 16,108 wives simultaneously. But each one felt he is coming only to my palace every day. Poor others. This was their only complaint. Can you imagine having 16,108 wives? All have only one complaint. You are not spending too much time for others. Unke saath bhi thoda dekha karo, jaya karo. This itself is a proof that he is the Supreme Lord. The unborn personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who creates, maintains and then devours this universe, simply as his play, took birth among the Yadus to preserve his own laws. He is called here as Setu Naam Gopi Thaya. Setu means a bridge. So to establish the bridge, he gives the scriptures, which is like a bridge to cross over the material existence. Sometimes bridge also means the banks, two banks which make sure that the river go in the same direction, one direction. Similarly, Krishna, by his instructions are such, if you follow strictly, we can easily move towards the spiritual world. So, he comes here. And then, as this was happening, it is described, this is Rukmini's palace, Krishna has come, this is just twilight, evening, the sun is just setting, and the description of her palace is given, just for you to get into the mood. You know, actually, description through hearing, you can enter the pastime much more than visual. Sometimes, you know, through television, through so many other sources, visual pastimes of the Lord is given. But that is the vision of the person who directed the whole thing. You are forced to see only that. But when you are hearing, each one according to their creativity can relish it. You can go, no, I want to go to that window. You have to see only this window, whichever is shown to you. But here you can imagine. So just listen to this. Queen Rukmini's quarters were extremely beautiful, boasting a canopy hung from brilliant strings of pearls, as well as effulgent jewels serving as lamps. There was no lamps, only jewels. And one light was lit and the jewels were shining, and this is how it was. Garlands of jasmine and other flowers hung here and there, attracting swarms of humming bees. And the spotless rays of the moon shone through the holes of the lattice windows. As agaru incense drifted out of the window holes, my dear king, the breeze wafting the scent of the Parijata grove carried the mood of a garden into the room. Parijata is the same flower that was brought from heavenly planet Indra. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was once telling, we have no concept of what Parijata is. If one Parijata flower were to, you know, just blossom in Chowpatty, the whole Mumbai would be filled with the fragrance. Yes. And there were so many beautiful Parijata flowers blossoming in her palace, Rukmini Devi's palace. There the queen served her husband, the supreme lord of all the worlds, as he reclined upon an opulent pillow on her bed, which was as soft and white as the foam of milk. The palace is described to show how everything was perfectly arranged by Rukmini Devi to please Krishna with her loving service. This is for us to learn how to, you know, arrange everything so nicely, so beautifully. You know, this, by the way, these are real trees. Huh? This is a bonsai tree under which Gopijan Vallabh Prabhu are standing. This was so much trouble taken by the devotees just to create a beautiful atmosphere for the Lord to enjoy. And when the Lord enjoys, and we see the Lord enjoying, it gives so much of satisfaction. That is the essence of the Chandan Yatra festival. Giso, giso, giso. You are sweating. In summer, you are sweating. One time one guest came and he was shocked. He was seeing that everyone is rubbing. Aap log lagayenge? Bhagwan ke liye. He just couldn't. Bhagwan ke liye? Aap log? Usko dekh ke hum khush ho gaye. So you see Krishna enjoying, it gives you satisfaction within. It may be crowded area, there are hundreds of people crammed together to see Krishna cool, and they feel cool. Otherwise you may sit in an AC room, but inside there is Kamagni, Krodhagni, Lobhagni. So this is just the opposite. Which is better? To be cool within, doesn't matter, little sweat outside. Or to be cool without, but burning within. So, she had perfectly arranged the internal potency of the Lord. She exactly knows what pleases Krishna. There is a very interesting word that is used. says, then from her maid servant's hand, goddess Rukmini took a yak hair fan with a jeweled handle, and then she began to worship her master by fanning him. Well, the servant's job, she is just doing 10 to 5 job. Maids, of course, even maid servants in Dwarka are great devotees of the Lord, but still, they're doing it as a, they're supposed to serve the king, and they've been appointed for it. But Rukmini didn't like it. She just picked it up, one beautiful jeweled handled yak tail fan, and she started doing it herself. Because she knows Krishna will be pleased. Extra. In very opulent homes, sometimes people employ people to come and worship the Lord. He will go back to Godhead, but you will remain. Prabhupada writes in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, this is a sign of laziness. Ambarish Maharaj, even though he was the emperor of the whole planet, he worshipped the Lord himself. So, it's not that you employ someone to come and worship. That part he would do. Other things delegate. This is not to be delegated. This is a golden opportunity. It's such a wonderful opportunity to serve. Her hand adorned with rings, bangles and the chamara fan, Queen Rukmini looked resplendent standing near Lord Krishna. Her jeweled ankle bells tinkled and her necklace glittered, reddened by the kumkum from her breasts, which were covered by the end of her sari. On her hips, she wore a priceless belt. And then Shukadeva Goswami says, as he contemplated her, the goddess of fortune herself, who desires only him, Lord Krishna smiled. He was pleased by Rukmini Devi's attitude of service. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form of the goddess of fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. This is another. The word used is anurupa rupa. This is a good servant. The servant adjusts his mood according to the mood of the master. He should be very flexible, dynamically observing what is the mood of my master, immediately adjust. When Krishna is a cowherd boy, his internal potency immediately assumes a cowherd girl. When the Lord becomes Dwarkadhish, here she is, the goddess of fortune, the principal queen, and she serves. It's not that the master is well dressed and the wife is walking around like a cowherd girl. So she knows exactly what will please and perfectly matching. When the Lord comes as most magnanimous personality, Nityananda Prabhu assumes the same mood. First he used a piece of grass as Balaram to cut the head of Romaharshan. Now he just puts it in his, between his teeth and falls at the feet of Jagai and Madhai. Why? Because the Lord's mood is this. I don't want to disturb his mood. I want to be perfectly anurupa rupa, perfectly in harmony with the Lord's mood. This is also a kind of enjoyment. You enjoy when the people around perfectly share the same mood. Why we look for like-minded friends when we want to go out? Teda sochane wala nahi chahiye mereko. Mood kharab kar deta hai. You want somebody who are like-minded, who just kind of gel with that. So, Rukmini Devi knew exactly. And she was perfectly dressed, you know, perfectly matching to the palace background. She's doing that. The Lord assumed, yeah. Her charming face was adorned with curly hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Now, This is Vishwanatha Chakravarti giving a comment before the next verse. Krishna thought, she has assumed a suitable form. Let me joke and see how she responds. Unlike Satyabhama, who had become envious of her co-wife and demanded a Parijata tree when Rukmini was given a flower, Rukmini was very grave and simply satisfied in her service. So Krishna wanted to see her irritated face. You know, sometimes the husband wants to tease and just get angry. Ah, ha, ha, I want to see you frowning and you know. Then, or put in anxiety sometimes. They may be standing in the next room. He says, nahi, abhi riksha chada hun, andheri se nikla. Kitna baar bola, kitna late kiya. Then he suddenly comes, oh. Just choking. So, these are some few excitements in grihastha life. Isme bhi tum karkara kar de, phir maza nahi aata. So, so Krishna wanted to see Rukmini. She's so gentle, so soft, so much, you know, accommodating. He wanted to see her a little, you know. This face is hardly seen of hers. Thoda irritate, just to irritate her and see her frowning face and anger from glancing with her red hot eyes. And for a change. If you're constantly eating sweet, sometimes you feel like eating some farsan. So it's like that, rasa. So, now, in next 11 verses, please listen attentively. Krishna is seriously proposing to Rukmini that you made a very big mistake in your life by accepting me. Bechari. This is his mood. And he's very serious. Actually, I have told you the secret. So that you don't become very grave. But the fact is, he was very serious when talking. This is the internal consciousness, he was smiling, but externally he was very serious. And he says, Rajaputri Ipsita Bhupair Lokapala Vibhuti Bhihi Mahanubhava Srimit Bhihi Rupa Audarya Balorjita. The Supreme Lord said, my dear princess, you are sought after by many kings as powerful as the rulers of planets. They were all abundantly endowed with political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, and physical strength. Basically what he is telling is, oh princess, you are a daughter of a king and I am a penniless son of Vasudev. I don't even have an account. Krishna, by the way, had no bank account. There were no banks at that time. But still, in Nanda Maharaj's home, everything belonged to Nanda. And in Ugrasen, everything was given to Ugrasen. You become the king. But he was just as he was from the beginning. You can't say there was no alternative because many kings wanted you as their wife. Ipsita bhupaihi. All the bhupalas. It's not that koi nahi mila to theek hai tu hi sahi. No. Actually, all these kings were hankering to get Rukmini. You can't say they were inferior to me because they were endowed with beauty, wealth, power, courage, vibhuti bhihi. Every word Krishna is using. He said, what a choice you had. And what kind of choice you made? Since your brother and father offered you to them, why did you reject the king of Chedi and all those other suitors who stood before you, maddened by Cupid, literally drooling, falling unconscious? Rukmini, with her, you know, fingernails of the left hand, she just raised her curly ears and looked and... Somebody fell from their elephant, somebody fell from their horse, one from the chariot itself. That was her beauty. Why instead did you choose us who are not at all your equal? So here Krishna is telling, You made an incompatible companion. You chose an incompatible. Compatibility is very important in marriage and friendship. So that you made a mistake. And then he says, so sometimes you may say, oh, kya kare, ab sab dur dur mein the, tu hi pass mein tha. So therefore, no. Since your brother and father offered you to them, why did you reject the king of Chedi and all those other suitors who stood before you maddened by Cupid? So you can't say that they were far away because they all came to your palace to request you. Tan praptan, that means they were very nearby. And you can't say your relatives were opposed to you. It's not that, kya kare abhi, pitaji agree nahi kiya. Bole nahi. Your relatives were not opposed to you because your brother and father wanted to give you to them. Datta bhratracha pitracha. They were also had agreed. Of course, the brother was specifically wanted. Rukmi, specifically, he hated Krishna. Therefore, he chose specifically Shishupal, who was so much anurupa rupa to him. Terrified of these kings, O lovely broad one, we took shelter in the ocean. We have become enemies of powerful men and we practically abandoned our royal throne. So many more reasons why he is convincing Rukmini that you made a wrong choice in choosing me. So he says, you failed to notice my cowardly nature, a great fault in a Kshatriya. I ran away from Mathura and hid in Dwarka, created a small place in the ocean, and I am hiding there. I am a coward. I ran away from the battle, Ranchod. Even though I showed fear, you can't say I have proper conduct. For I made enemies with many stronger kings and have only a few friends. Balavad bhihi kritadvesham. Rukmini, no kings are my friends except Panch Pandav. Wo bhi bechare bhatak rahe hain mere jaise. See, my conduct is also not good. Nobody loves me. Everyone hates me. I have acted like this. Moreover, being a Yadava, it was not proper for me to be a king. After killing Kamsa, although I was entitled to the throne, I gave the royal throne to grandfather Ugrasen. Tyakta Nripa Asanam. I gave that up also. Then he says another point. He says, Prayah Sidanti Yoshitaha. Whoever choose me, they always are in distress. Oh, fine broad lady, women are usually destined to suffer when they stay with men whose behavior is uncertain and who pursue a path not approved by society. The pious women who follow the path of men like us must almost always suffer. Prayah Sidanti Yoshita. Aspashta Vartmanam. Uncertain behavior. Why he is telling that uncertain behavior? I have no fixed aim in life. What is Krishna's goal of life? No one knows. I have no fixed aim in life. People call me a vagabond. Tu kahan ka hai? Vrindavan ka hai ki Mathura ka address? Koi permanent fixed address hai kya tera? कि द्वारका का है, कभी हस्तिनापुर में रहता है, कभी इधर रहता है, कभी उधर रहता है. Am I a cowherd boy or a prince? I didn't follow in the footsteps of my father Nanda, nor faithful to Radharani, or the gopis and the gopas. Suddenly I left them all to become a prince. Now I don't have a kingdom either. उधर भी नहीं, घर का ना घाट का. अलोक पथम ईयूषाम. Socially unacceptable path. He says, I am not satisfied with one wife. Socially acceptable, right? But socially, I have accepted 6,108. Aisa koi hai mila? Since trained in village and not aware of urban etiquettes, I can't satisfy them all. Whoever become attached to me are generally left to cry for the rest of their life, like the Brajvasis. Dekho Brajvasi kya hua? मेरे पीछे पागल हुए, अभी रो रहे हैं, अभी भी रो रहे हैं. आई इंसल्टेड योर ब्रदर इवन इन योर प्रेजेंस, ये मेरा व्यवहार. उसको स्पेशल हेयर कट दिया, मारने जा रहा था, तूने रोका, नहीं तो मैं मार दिया होता. आई वुड हैव किल्ड हिम, ओनली यूज्ड हिम एंड बलराम चैस्टाइज मी. ऐसा व्यवहार नहीं करते, आज शादी होने वाला है और इसको मार रहा है. नो स्टेडीनेस ऑफ कैरेक्टर एंड वेरी अनरिलायबल हस्बैंड. किसको छोड़ के किसको पकड़ लेगा काम. दिस इज वॉट आई एम. एंड देन ही सेज वी हैव नो मेटीरियल पोजेशंस. हु वुड लाइक टू हैव अ हस्बैंड हु हैज नो मेटीरियल पोजेशंस. वी हैव नो मेटीरियल पोजेशंस एंड वी आर डियर टू दोज हु हैव सिमिलरली नथिंग. मैं आया एक भिखारी प्यारे आ जाओ गिरी. सब भिखारी लोग ही मेरे पास आते हैं. मैं भिखारी, मेरे पास आने वाले भी सब भिखारी. और पैसे वाले मेरे पास आने से डरते हैं क्योंकि यस्या हम अनुग्रहणामी हरिश्चेत धनम. पता नहीं, कृष्ण के पास मत जाना, दूसरे जाएंगे तो सुख संपत्ति घर आवे, यहां गए तो सब जावे. Rich are not interested in me, rather they are scared of me. I and my followers are not at all interested in sense gratification. Kaise vyakti ko chuni tu? And then he makes a very interesting point. Marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, physical appearance and capacity for good progeny. But never between a superior and an inferior. Unless there is a deep underlying, deep love, then everything is over. Okay, otherwise, in long term, if there is too large an incompatibility in too many factors, it comes up later in life and keeps pricking. So therefore, as far as possible, I remember when we were young in college, a favorite topic of debate was love marriage or arranged marriage. So many good points would come for both. Ultimately, the conclusion was, compatibility dekhna jaruri hai. It should be fulfilling, satisfying, sustainable. The deep underlying factor is we accept, I mean, if there is a mood of serving each other, we came together to serve each other to achieve the perfection of life. Support each other, encourage each other, serve each other. Anything else, to an extent, then it creates so much of disparity and ill feelings and strain in relationships. And Krishna is making that point. Okay, master and servant, there may be discrepancy. That's why master and servant is servant. Guru and disciple, obviously there is difference. But marriage and friendship should be among equals for compatibility. Your father is wealthy, my father has no wealth. You are from a great dynasty, I am a Yadava. Bhaiya. You are fair and I am dark, Kala Kaluta. Your prosperity is assured, whereas mine is uncertain because I have many enemies. Anyone can kill me. Everyone is after to kill me. As Krishna was very seriously proposing, I want to tell you, when did this conversation occur? This happened after Aniruddha's marriage. Aniruddha is the son of Pradyumna, who is the son of Rukmini Devi. Oh, I forgot to tell you the main point. Nana Nani ki kahani ho rahi hai, Nana. Of course, Krishna is Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanamcha. He is like a 16-year-old. And sure enough, Anurupa Rupa, She is her, you know, internal potency. So even she is like a 16-year-old. So both stand together with Pradyumna's wife and Aniruddha's wife. They look like twin sisters. Perfect. Who's getting married? Whom? It's like that. Even Pradyumna, when he would walk, people would think, wow, Krishna has come. They say, Kastubh Mani nahi. Oh, kya Pradyumna hai. I card laga ke jana. So, of course, Rukmini is as fresh, you know, like a 16-year-old. And Krishna is also ever youthful. As Rukmini was hearing this, she was becoming more and more anxious at the crazy proposals and anticipation of separation from Krishna. She was thinking, is he seriously considering leaving me? And, you know, and then, O Vaidarbhi, Krishna continued, not being far-sighted, you didn't realize this, and therefore you chose us as your husband, even though we have no good qualities and are glorified only by deluded beggars. Only deluded beggars. Pagal bhikhari. Jo pagal hai, wo mere piche aata hai. Tu pagalpan mein mujhe swikar kar liye. I have no good qualities. Gunahina. Gunairhina. Bhikshubhihi slaghita mudha. Essence, what Krishna is telling Rukmini is, you have been not very far-sighted. You have been short-sighted. As most of the women do in this world, being infatuated by the externals. And not considered the overall picture. Sometimes this happens. I have at least come across so many marriages where, you know, externally they get infatuated for some reason or another. While there is absolute incompatibility, and then there is problem, and then in an infatuated state, you don't know the intention of the other person. And then when the intention comes out, it is so difficult. So that's what he said. You have been very short-sighted. Just wrote a love letter and I also jumped and came. And now, he said, abhi bhi der nahi hai. He's telling her. Now, you should definitely accept a more suitable husband. A first-class man of royal order, who can help you achieve everything you want, both in this life and the next. Naturally, Rukmini say, "Theek hai, meri buddhi bhrasht ho gayi thi. Tu mujhe kyun swikar kiya? You are very intelligent, na? You considered all this. Why didn't you? Then why didn't you?" So therefore, he's answering. He says, "Kings like Shishupal, Shalva, Jarasandha and Dantavakra all hate me, O beautiful thighed one, and so does your elder brother Rukmi." You know? So why did you marry me? He says, "It was to dispel the arrogance of these kings that I carried you away, my good woman, for they were blinded by the intoxication of power. My purpose was to curb the strength of the wicked." By the way, you came. I was only focused on, you know, curbing those Shishupal. Sab ek hi saath aa rahe the us din. So once for all, I did the job. That's all. And then he says, as if to say, "Theek hai, don't worry. You may say, if I go away, what will happen to you? Don't worry. I'll manage on my own." With this mood, he says, "We care nothing for wives, children and wealth. Always satisfied within ourselves, we do not work for body and home, but like a light, we merely witness. So are my devotees. So you should not worry that I will be unhappy if you accept another husband. Because, this is the reason, Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, who is hearing with rapt attention, "Phir kya hua?" Rukmini had thought herself especially beloved by the Lord because he never left her company. By saying these things to her, he vanquished her pride and then stopped speaking. सोच लो, मेरे को मेरी चिंता मत करो, मैं संभाल लूंगा. खिचड़ी विचड़ी खा आप लोग जाओ. And he just kept quiet. Rukmini thought she was the most, you know, principal queen, and she had some transcendental pride, of course. Even that, you know, Krishna removed. By this talk, Krishna broke Rukmini's pride of thinking herself as Krishna's dearmost queen due to her intense love, Parama Anuraga. Of course, did Rukmini have really pride? She is an eternal consort of the Lord. If she had anything like that, would Krishna accept her? What was this pride? It is explained. Rukmini had thought, although I am unfit, by his oceanic good qualities, Krishna has accepted me. Thus has made me most fortunate. She was only thinking, I am so fortunate. In fact, I am the most fortunate. That was her pride. She was proud of her good fortune, which other did not probably have. Even that, Krishna doesn't seem to like. And he removes, don't be thinking, most fortunate. Then, Goddess Rukmini had never before heard such unpleasantries from her beloved, the Lord of universal rulers. And she became frightened. She actually thought Krishna, even sometimes this would happen to Radharani also. The thought that Krishna would leave, she would faint, even though Krishna is sitting next to her. A tremor arose in her heart, and in terrible anxiety, she began to cry. With her tender foot, effulgent with reddish glow of her nails, she scratched the ground, and tears darkened by her eye makeup sprinkled her kumkum-reddened breasts. There she stood, face downward, her voice choked up by extreme sorrow. Rukmini's mind was overwhelmed with unhappiness, fear and grief. Her bangle slipped from her hand and her fan fell to the ground. In her bewilderment, she suddenly fainted. Her hair scattered all about her body and fell to the ground like a plantain tree blown over by the wind. She just kind of standing like this and just fell off. Seeing that the beloved was so... this is another one very important thing. Rukmini attained, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur saying, the state of sattvika bhava, devotional ecstasy, ranging from stambha, stambha means stunned, to pralaya, fainting. This was also the extreme degree of ecstasy. This is not like ordinary fainting when you see a skeleton in the cupboard or whatever you open. This is transcendental ecstasy. Once Prabhupada was clapping and very grave, and one disciple said, you're looking very, you don't know the sign of ecstasy. So this was a very great ecstasy. Seeing that his beloved was so bound to him in love that she could not understand the full meaning of his teasing, merciful Lord Krishna felt compassion for her. He said, I was joking. She seems to have taken it too seriously. She seems to have fainted. There, he says, prema bandhanam, the word used is prema bandhanam, bound by pure love. She could not understand Krishna's joking. As, this is a very interesting point Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes here. As prema, or love of God, increases, a devotee feels humble and wretched more and more, thinking, I am not worthy of Krishna, and therefore I deserve to be rejected by him. Actually, the more love for Krishna devotee develops, the more he realizes, the more he feels that he has no love. No love. Radharani feels similarly. That's the nature of spiritual love. Completely opposite of material affection. The Lord quickly got down from his bed. Instantly manifested four arms, because he had to do many things now. With two he had to lift, with one he had to wipe the tears, and with one, you know, caress her hair and set it up. So Krishna, you know, Chaturbhuj, suddenly became Chaturbhuj. Dose uthaya, dose kiya, even without his knowledge, not that Krishna, you know, suddenly said, Adha upar. No, it just spontaneously happened because he wanted to just, out of love, he wanted to just care for her. Wiping her tear-filled eyes and her breasts, which were stained by tears of grief, the Supreme Lord, the goal of his devotees, embraced his chaste wife, who desired nothing but him. O King, expert in the art of pacification, Sri Krishna tenderly consoled pitiable Rukmini, whose mind was bewildered by his clever joking and who did not deserve to suffer so. Krishna said, this is too much. She took it too seriously. She should not suffer like this. The Supreme Lord said, O Vaidarbhi, do not be displeased with me. I know that you are fully devoted to me. I only spoke in jest, dear lady, because I wanted to hear what you would say. I also wanted to see your face, lips trembling in loving anger, and reddish corners of your eyes throwing sidelong glances, and the line of your beautiful eyebrows knit in a frown. Ye thoda alag ras. You know, your sweet kha kha ke thoda, I wanted to see the other part. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur raises a very interesting point here. If it was Krishna's desire to see Rukmini like this, and Rukmini exactly knows how to please Krishna, she should have got angry. Logically, isn't it? Then Krishna would have got pleasure. But Krishna is disturbed now. Arey, main zyada kuch bol diya kya? Tu disturb nahi hui na? This is reverse. So he's asking, Vishwanath Chakravarti is raising this question. Did Rukmini fail here? He said, no. He gives a very, very deep, technical rasa tattva. He says, Krishna's ichha shakti is under his control, but prema controls Krishna. So next to prema, his ichha shakti has no power. To increase Krishna's ecstasy, prema sometimes goes against the desire of the Lord as shown here. Ichha shakti can become boring. Ut gaya, baith gaya. Ut nahi uthunga, baith khade rahunga. So ichha wants and prema turns something else. In fact, to go deeper than ichha and touch exactly what he wants in a much more satisfying way. So one is ichha shakti of Krishna, but prema is so powerful that sometimes it defeats ichha shakti to fulfill the ichha of Krishna in a much more deeper way. And therefore, Krishna is also, there is some adventure and excitement for him. Otherwise, it can be boring to be the Supreme Lord, you know. I know everything. Abhi dekh kya hone wala hai, sab malum hai mujhe. Can you go into watching a movie or something? Kya hone wala, sab malum hai. Teen reel ke baad kya hoga, abhi malum. Can be boring, no, it's always exciting. The greatest pleasure, Krishna is saying, the greatest pleasure worldly householders can enjoy at home is to spend time joking with their beloved wives. My dear timid and temperamental one. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually householders work very hard day and night, but the day's fatigue is minimized when they meet and enjoy in many ways. Now, Rukmini gets up, kind of steadies herself. And then she says, now she's confirmed, and she's trying to confirm. Now that she's fully confirmed that Krishna was only joking and really not serious, now she says, okay, kya kya allegation diya tune? Ek ek nikala, abhi batati hun. She is going to actually counteract each of the allegations Krishna made. And please listen to how she actually counteracts each of the proposals Krishna had made in a fitting way. Muh tod jawab bolte na. Not literally, but you know, in a virtual way. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Queen Vaidarbhi was fully pacified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understood that his word had been spoken in jest. Thus she gave up her fear that beloved her beloved would reject her. Smiling bashfully as she casts charming, affectionate glances upon the face of the Lord, the best of males, Rukmini spoke the following, O descendant of Bharata. Krishna made 11 points, by the way, just to remind you. What were the allegations, you know? Lawyer bedke khada hota hai. Your Honor, these are the allegations. Krishna made 11 points to prove his disqualification, which Rukmini will disprove in Krishna's glorification. They are, number one, incompatibility, wrong choice. Fearfulness, I mean fearful, cowardly. Taking shelter in the ocean, quarreling with the powerful, abandoning his kingdom, uncertainty as to his identity, acting against ordinary standards of behavior, having no good qualities, being praised by falsely by beggars, aloofness and lack of desire for family life. These are all the allegations Krishna had made to prove Rukmini that you made a wrong choice. Now, point one, incompatibility. Huh? Okay, what is Rukmini's reply? Rukmini says, actually, what you have said is true, O lotus-eyed one. I am indeed unsuitable for the almighty personality of Godhead. What comparison is there between the Supreme Lord, who is the master of the three primal deities and who delights in his own glory, and myself, a woman of mundane qualities whose feet are grasped by fools? She said, yes, my Lord. True. Incompatibility. It is your glory that you accepted. Otherwise, I? What kind of equality I have with you? You are the Supreme Lord and I am an insignificant person. Through her humility, she actually contracted this. You are Bhagavan and Trayadhisha and I am of the three modes. Actually, she's talking about her expansion in Maya Devi. Now, point number two. Taking shelter in ocean due to fear of powerful kings. Here is my reply. Yes, my Lord Urukrama, you lay down within the ocean as if afraid of the material modes, and thus in pure consciousness you appear within the heart as the super soul. You are always battling against the foolish material senses, and indeed even your servants reject the privilege of royal dominion, which leads to blindness of ignorance. She is contracting each one of this, that out of fear of kings I took shelter in the ocean. She says, the actual rulers of this world are the gunas. They are the real powerful controllers, three gunas. The material modes of nature which impel all living beings to act. Because Lord Krishna fears that his devotee will come under the influence of the modes of nature and become entangled in sense gratification, he enters the internal ocean of their hearts, where he remains as the omniscient super soul. Thus he protects his devotee. The word upalambana matra indicates that the Lord is the object of meditation for his devotees. Right? So the Lord, yes, he is hidden deep inside the ocean, as if afraid, but actually from him comes the strength. Sarvasachaham Hridisanyavishto Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanamcha. He is sitting from within and he is protecting his devotees against the attack of the powerful kings in the form of the three modes of nature. And then Krishna is telling, I created enmity with the powerful. Rukmini answers, it is the material senses which are actually powerful in this world. The Supreme Lord has taken up battle against sense gratification on the part of his devotees. And thus he is constantly trying to help them in their struggle for spiritual purity. When the devotees become free of unwanted material habits, the Lord reveals himself to them, and then the eternal loving relationship between the Lord and the devotees become an irrevocable fact. So yes, he is seated deep inside, as if hiding, and giving the strength from inside to his devotees to fight against the senses. And then Krishna told, we renounce the royal throne. Krishna never accepted a throne. even though he was son of Nanda Maharaj there, and here Ugrasen Maharaj. He personally never, and he put Yudhishthir on the throne after Rajasuyagya. And here Srimati Rukmini Devi says, yes, my lord, you are right. That the position of political supremacy in this world usually implicates so-called powerful leaders in darkness and blindness. As the saying goes, power corrupts. Thus, even Lord's loving servant tend to shy away from political intrigue and power politics. The Lord himself, being completely satisfied in his own spiritual bliss, would hardly be interested in occupying mundane political positions. Thus, Srimati Rukmini Devi correctly interprets the Lord's action as evidence of his supreme transcendental nature. Yes, you're not interested in position and power. So also are your devotees. Then he says that my movements are very, uncertain. For that she answers, your movements, inscrutable even to the sages who relish the honey of your lotus feet, are certainly incomprehensible for human beings who behave like animals. And just as your activities are transcendental, O all-powerful Lord, so too are those of your followers. Basically what Rukmini, because he had said that women, basically what she is saying here is, even sages, Mahajano, what is that? You can't understand the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vijjena bujhaya. Said, yes, even great sages cannot understand. Yasyantam navidu sura asuragana. Then Krishna had said that women are usually destined to suffer when they stay with men whose behavior is uncertain and to pursue a path not approved by society. So she is taking alokapatham. Alokapatham means different from the social path. To mean the unworldly path. It's not the worldly path, but the path towards transcendence. Those who are entangled in worldly behavior are trying to enjoy this world more or less like animals. Even if such people are culturally advanced, they should simply be considered sophisticated or polished animals. Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that because the Lord's activities are always transcendental, they are aspashta or unclear to ordinary people. Unless you hear from the acharyas, you can't understand Krishna's activities. Krishna bewilders practically everyone who has never heard from a guru or sadhu or shastra. Even if you have read shastra, isn't it so bewildering? Just the other day, I was discussing with one devotee who has read Mahabharata and all that, and she was asking this question. Why would Krishna do this at the end of the pastime, So many people being killed and fighting with each other and living like that. She's a devotee, she'll be chanting. But she read this Mahabharata and was completely confused. Why did Krishna do this? Very difficult to understand. Then Krishna said, we have no material possession and we are dear to those who are similarly have nothing. Therefore the wealthy hardly worship me. Rukmini answers that question. You possess nothing because there is nothing beyond you. Even the great enjoyers of tribute, Brahma and other demigods, pay tribute to you. Those who are blinded by their wealth and absorbing, gratifying their senses do not recognize you in the form of death. But to the gods, the enjoyers of tribute, you are the most dear as they are to you. So basically, saying Krishna says, Nishkinchano nanu. I am Nishkinchana. That means no wealth. So she says, you are indeed Nishkinchana. Nishkinchana means one who does not have anything. Or in other words, one who has nothing. But in the present verse, Rukmini states that Lord Krishna possesses nothing, not because he is a pauper, but because he himself is everything. What can be outside of Krishna? What can be outside of Krishna? Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murthina. Krishna showed the whole universe, whole cosmic manifestation within his mouth. So what can be outside? Therefore Krishna has nothing. Because Krishna is everything. So it's a fact. You're right, my Lord. You have nothing. And your devotees also have nothing. Why? Because they consider themselves nishkinchana. Kinchana means kinchit, something. My Lord, everything belongs to you, but this belongs to me. No. Manasa deho geho jogi chumor arpilu tuvapade nanda kisho. Actually your devotees, whether they are unrivaled emperors of the planet like Yudhishthir Maharaj or Gaur Kishore Das Babaji with one loincloth and one skull of the head as a pot. Absolutely nothing. At the heart of heart, they consider themselves beggars, nishkinchana. And therefore you are right, my Lord. You have nothing and you are desired by those who have no other desires for anything. Next, Krishna said, marriage and friendship are proper between two people who are equal in terms of their wealth, birth, influence, physical appearance, capacity of a good progeny, but never between a superior and an inferior. So for that she answers, you are the embodiment of all human goals and are yourself the final aim of life. Desiring to attain you, O all-powerful Lord, intelligent persons abandon everything else. It is they who are worthy of your association, not men and women absorbed in the pleasure and grief resulting from their mutual lust. What she means is, those who have given up all such material conceptions of sense gratification and have taken exclusively to the Lord's loving service can understand who their real friend is and companion. Who is that? Krishna. Sihridam sarvabhutanam. Truly, there is only one friend in this world. That is Krishna. And there is one more friend. Whoever introduces us to that friend, your ever well-wisher, Prabhupada signed. He was our best friend. One time this, in our discussion meeting of counselors, this question was raised to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, that counselor is supposed to be friend, philosopher and guide. So they said, Maharaj, philosopher is easy because if you study scriptures, you become philosopher. Guide, you can guide. But friend is the toughest because it means spending a lot of time. Bahut time leta hai. But surprisingly, Maharaj said, this is the easiest of the three. And he explained, what does it mean to friend? Friend doesn't mean, you know, spending time, hours and hours together and discussing close, intimate talks. No. Friend means genuine well-wisher. He said, in that sense, Prabhupada is our ever well-wishing friend because he created a system with a sincere desire as a well-wisher to give us Krishna, our real friend. So providing a facility or genuinely concerned about how they can be connected to the real friend is also real friendship. It's not just kind of, we think alike, we have the same taste, same prasad you both like. On one level, okay, but real friendship is this. And Krishna is our friend. And therefore, when you develop friendship with Krishna, he becomes your equal and companion. So you can relate to him in any way and he will reciprocate. Next, Krishna had said, I am glorified by beggars. Yes, my Lord. How? Knowing that great sages who have renounced the sannyasi danda proclaim your glories, that you are the supreme soul of all the worlds, and that you are the gracious, you are so gracious that you give away even your own self, I chose you as my husband, rejecting Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the rulers of heaven whose aspirations are frustrated by the force of time, which is born from your eyebrows. What interest then could I have in other suitors? Arey, ye to lallu panju chodo. Brahma and Shiva I have refused. I have refused all of them to consider only you, my Lord. I was most far-sighted, not short-sighted. basically what she's pointing out, that so-called beggars are actually sages in the Paramahamsa stage of life. Who are real beggars? Who was in the Paramahamsa stage of life. Sannyasis who have reached the highest level of spiritual advancement and thus given up the sannyasi rod also. Paramahamsa stage, you give up that danda. Lord Krishna also made two specific accusations against his wife, saying that, Avijja, my dear Vaidarbhi, you were not aware of the situation. And Adirgha Samikshaya, because you lack foresight. In the present verse, Rukmini's statement, I chose you as my husband because you possess the above mentioned qualities. It was not a blind choice at all. Rukmini further mentions that she passed over lesser personalities like Brahma, Shiva and the rulers of heaven because she saw that even though materially speaking they are great personalities, they are frustrated by the powerful waves of time which emanate from the eyebrows of Lord Krishna. Therefore, far from lacking foresight, Rukmini chose Lord Krishna after an exhaustive appraisal of the entire cosmic situation. Thus, she lovingly rebukes her husband. That means gradually. Tujhe wahi chahiye tha na, abhi dikhate hain. You wanted me frowning face, right? I'll give you now. And at the same time, she's just kind of gradually picking up. My lord, this is. Then he said, terrified of those kings, we went to the ocean for shelter. Is that so? Okay, let me tell you. My lord, as a lion drives away lesser animals to claim his proper tribute, you drove off all the assembled kings with a resounding twang of your saranga bow and then claim me, your fair share. Thus it is sheer foolishness, my dear Gadagraja, for you to say you took shelter in an ocean out of fear of those kings. Don't give me all that stuff, huh? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, as Rukmini spoke these words, she frowned and cast angry sidelong glances at the Lord. And then she says, wanting your association, the best of kings, Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nahusha, Gaya and others, abandoned their absolute sovereignty and entered the forest to seek you. How could these kings suffer frustration in this world, O lotus-eyed one? Here she is refuting that Sidanti. Those who take shelter are always distressed. Isn't it? That's what Krishna said. Sidanti Yoshitaha. Whoever comes to me, eventually keep crying throughout their life. So to that argument, she is countering. Women who follow my path generally suffer. So Rukmini says, why should those fixed on your path suffer in this world? She gives example of many great kings who renounced their powerful sovereignty to enter the forest where they performed austerities and worshipped the Lord, intensely desiring His transcendental association. Thus, according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Rukmini here intends to tell Krishna, you have said that I, a king's daughter, am unintelligent and frustrated because I married you. But how can you accuse all these great enlightened kings of being unintelligent? They were the wisest of men, yet they gave up everything to follow you, and you certainly not, and were not certainly frustrated by the result. Indeed, they achieved the perfection of your association. Don't tell me all that stuff. Then Krishna had told, I am all gunaihinaha. I have no good qualities. For that she says, the aroma of your lotus feet, which is glorified by great saints, awards people liberation and is the abode of goodness. Abode of goddess Lakshmi. What woman would take shelter of any other man after savoring that aroma? Since you are the abode of transcendental qualities, what mortal woman with the insight to distinguish her own true interest would disregard that fragrance and depend instead of someone who is always subject to terrible fear? Because everyone else, so-called powerful men in this world, in a single moment, they can be reduced to utter helplessness and confusion. Indeed, destruction is the inevitable fate of all powerful masculine bodies. The Lord, however, has an eternal spiritual body that is omnipotent and infinitely beautiful. And thus, as Queen Rukmini argues here, how could any sane, enlightened woman take shelter of anyone but Lord Krishna? Now she is reaching to the concluding statement to finally give her judgment. Krishna had told, "My dear princess, you were sought after by many kings as powerful as rulers of planets. They were abundantly endowed with political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, physical strength. Sab chhodke mere piche kyun aayi? O infallible Krishna, let each of the kings you name become the husband of a woman whose ears have never heard of your glories, which are sung in the assembly of Shiva and Brahma. After all, in the households of such women, these kings live like asses, oxen, dogs, cats and slaves." Please listen to the purport. Rukmini here speaks with anger. That's what Krishna wanted. She gives him a full dose, pointing her index finger at the Lord. Main galti ki, unko pakad ke, in logon ke, gadhe logon ke piche. Now I am telling you why I chose you. She compares the so-called great princes to asses because they carry many material burdens. To oxen because they are always distressed while performing their occupational duties. To dogs because their wives disrespect them. To cats because they are selfish and cruel. And to slaves because they are servile in family affairs. Such kings may appear desirable to a foolish woman who has not heard and or understood the glories of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds extra purport to all the adjectives. He adds that such kings are like asses because their wives sometimes kick them. Like dogs because they behave inimically towards outsiders in order to protect their homes. And like cats because they eat the remnants left by their wives in the refrigerator. I'm almost coming. 10:25 is the fast breaking time. So I'll try to end as early as possible. Please be ready to hear a very, very bitter truth that Rukmini says. Very good appetizer for breaking the fast. She uses very strong words. I'm just repeating. If you have realization of this, you will fall for Krishna. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or a lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair and body hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile and air. I will read the purport as it is. Here, Krishna's chaste wife makes a quite unequivocal statement about material sense gratification based on the physical body. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, "On the authority of the statement, he indeed should be become one's husband who can remove all fear. Sri Krishna is a real husband for all women at all times. Thus, a woman who worships someone else as her husband simply worships a dead body." That doesn't mean we should not respect. But understand that he is a servant of the Lord and serve. And we are the servant of the servant. Rukmini thus considered that although the sweetness of Lord Krishna's lotus feet is well known, and although he possesses an eternal body full of knowledge and bliss, foolish women reject him. An ordinary husband's body is covered with an outside by all this stuff. Those who have no practical experience of a beauty or purity of Krishna or of Krishna consciousness may be confused by such uncompromising denunciations of material bodily gratification. But those who are enlightened in Krishna consciousness will be enlivened and enthused by such absolutely truthful statements. This is reality. O lotus-eyed one, Rukmini is telling Krishna, though you are satisfied within yourself, and thus rarely turn your attention toward me, please bless me with steady love for your lotus feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. She is representing herself as Maya Devi, Only when you want to create this material world, you glance at me. Otherwise, who am I and who are you? What is the comparison? Actually, I don't consider your words false, O Madhusudana. Quite often, an unmarried girl is attracted to a man, as in the case of Amba. She's quoting a reference also, historical reference. The mind of a promiscuous woman always hankers for new lovers, even if she is married. An intelligent man should not keep such an unchaste wife, for if he does, he will lose his good fortune both in this life and in the next. Basically, Rukmini means, you being omniscient would have rejected me already if you had known me to be like this. You are a clever husband. You are not a fool. You won't accept me if what you are saying is true. Now Krishna says, "Theek hai, abhi main kuch bolu." Theek hai. Supreme Lord said, "Oh saintly lady, oh princess, we deceived you only because we wanted to hear you speak like this. Indeed, everything you said in reply to my words is most certainly true. Whatever benedictions you hope for in order to become free of material desires are ever yours. O fair and noble lady, you are my unalloyed devotee. O sinless one, I have now seen firsthand the pure love and chaste attachment you have for your husband. Even though shaken by my words, your mind could not be pulled away from me. Although I have the power to award spiritual liberation, lusty persons worship me with penance and vows in order to get my blessings for their mundane family life. Such persons are bewildered by my illusory energy. O supreme reservoir of love, unfortunate are they who, even after obtaining me, the Lord of both liberation and material riches, hanker only for material treasures. These worldly gains can be found even in hell. Since such persons are obsessed with sense gratification, hell is a fitting place for them." Because this opposite, the association of opposite sex is found even in lower species. If it's only for that we approach the Lord, what is the use? "Fortunately, O mistress of the house, you have always rendered me faithful devotional service, which liberates one from material existence. The service is very difficult for the envious to perform, especially woman whose intentions are wicked, who lives only to gratify her bodily demands and who indulges in duplicity. In all my palaces, I can find no other wife as loving as you, O most respectful one. When you were to be married, you disregarded all the kings who had assembled to seek your hand. And simply because you had heard authentic accounts concerning me, you sent a Brahmana to me with your confidential message. When your brother, who had been defeated in battle and then disfigured, was later killed during a gambling match in Aniruddha's wedding day, you felt unbearable grief, yet out of fear of losing me, you spoke not a word. By this silence, you have conquered me." He says, when your brother was killed, just so that I will be displeased, you didn't even show that grief. You just hid it. And by this silence you have conquered me. When you sent the message with your most confidential plan, and yet I delayed going to you, you began to see the whole world as void and wanted to quit your body, which could never have been given to anyone but me. May this greatness of yours remain with you always. I can do nothing to reciprocate except joyfully thank you for your devotion." He told the gopis the same thing. "Na paarayeha. I just can't repay your love." Lord Ram told Hanuman the same thing. "Hanuman, I am a vanavasi. I can't repay anything. So much you have done for me. The only thing I can do is just I embrace you." "Kaha bharata samatuma pribhai. Sahasa vadana tumharo yashagave. Asaka isri pati kantha lagave." He just embraced him. And I am going to conclude just two verses. Sukadeva Goswami concludes, and we are coming to the same point. The purport, if you remember, just to remind you, was, "In conclusion, these were all pastimes the Supreme Lord enjoyed as he played the part of a human being." So Sukadeva Goswami at the end of this pastime concludes, "And so, the self-satisfied Supreme Lord of the universe enjoyed with the goddess of fortune, engaging in her lover's talks and thus imitating the ways of human society. The Almighty Lord Hari, preceptor of all the worlds, similarly behaved like a conventional householder in the palaces of his other queens, performing the religious duties of a family man. In conclusion, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur concludes this beautiful pastime with a beautiful analogy. He says, Krishna's apparently insensitive words were like a grinding stone, and Rukmini Devi's heart was like camphor. Camphor, chandan, aguru. The more Krishna spoke these words, the more Rukmini's love manifested. By giving these kind of proposals, I think you made a wrong choice. Sochale, abhi bhi sochale, time hai. I won't mind. Krishna is saying this. Similarly, in our spiritual life, even very late, this was after, you know, she was a grandma. So Krishna, after many years, Krishna may still propose, I think you made a wrong choice joining Hare Krishna. What all you missed? So many offers you had. So many facilities you could have got. Kya kya kha sakta tha? Kya kya pi sakta tha? Abhi bhi soch le chahe to. You are missing out, man. You made a wrong choice. Idhar bhi kuch nahi mila. Udhar bhi kuch nahi mila. Isn't it? Soch le. Main bol raha hu tujhe, ja. I don't mind. I won't mind. And you may say, Krishna inspired me. Came in the heart and told me personally. But here, you know, Rukmini was saying, nonsense. With a resounding affirmation, when these kind of proposals come, of course Krishna is teasing. To us he teases, Maya teases us. It is not Krishna's voice. It is Maya covered by flute, putting a flute and a peacock feather. She proposes. We said, nonsense. I really thought about it. Main ullu ka patta nahi hun. Soch samajh ke main kadam liya hun. Hopefully we will tell like that. Even at the end, like Bhishma is passing away, even at that time he says, my Lord, whatever I did, full consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness, full consciousness, full willingness of it, all thought, with far-sightedness, Goloka Nivasita, not short-sightedness, really far-sighted. Hare Krishna. On this auspicious day of Rukmini Dwadashi, we can pray to Rukmini Devi. Jai Shishi Gopal Ji Ki. Ho ho ho, Jai ho. Bakasur. We can pray at the feet of Rukmini Devi that we may develop that same chastity, that same loyalty towards Krishna and serve Him unconditionally in all situations. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.